Hi, Corrine.
Hi, Tari.
We got a great show tonight on BBS Radio with Angel Coaches. And I'm going to use our friend, our producer's little line here. It's Christmas Eve Eve. And so share everybody what our show's about tonight on Christmas Eve.
That. Christmas Eve Eve. We are extending the holiday out one extra day. It's Christmas Eve Eve today. Tonight's show is wonderful, and in the spirit of the holiday season. It's about returning home to our hearts, because our hearts are, where our true north is. It's where it's the seat of consciousness. It's where we connect to spirit. It's a source of our connection, and it's a source of consciousness that's greater than the ego. It's really the seat of our soul, and it's where we can find our deepest truth, our connection to our higher selves, and we receive the clearest direction from spirit. And it's our pathway, it's the only pathway to living our highest and best vision for ourselves. So tonight's show is about returning home to our hearts.
That's true. I like that, by the way. And I know as we're going along and through ups and always wanted, and I know you and I've talked about this, is learning to love unconditionally. But what I realize, okay, and this is a big epiphany or a big aha moment for me, is that it's not learning to, it's just realizing we're already that source of love, unconditional love. It's learning to tap back into it, and that's what you're saying, coming from the heart, I believe, right?
Right. And all we have to do is to approach life with an open heart. To approach life with an open heart means that we're opening the door to this level of consciousness. We're reconnecting back with spirit, to our God center that is always with us. And all we have to do to approach life with an open heart is to shift our attention back to our hearts and listen to what our heart is telling us, separate from the ego, which resides in the mind, because that's not where our utmost truth resides. Is not in our mind. Our mind is filled with thoughts and fears and doubts and worries, but the heart doesn't live there. And sometimes we forget about what our heart is trying to tell us because we live in the moment with the distractions of every day. So when we shift our attention back to our hearts, that's where we can find our deepest truth. And that's where a spirit speaks to us and will guide us. It's our compass. It's our only compass. It's our truest form, truest compass. And to live your life with spirit is just to connect back to the heart again.
I know that sounds beautiful what we're saying, and I know there are folks out there that are listening to us and going, you know what? That sounds like a Hallmark card. But let's talk about something that when you get back into your heart and stay out of your mind, I promise you, I know every relationship you have, whether it's a business and or a personal relationship with family, loved ones, your spouse, your significant other, is going to be better. Don't you agree, Corrine? Because I've had some real epiphanies with that pretty recently, and I know you have as well, because you and I are both coming from different perspectives on that with relationships that we've had or having. And how's that helped you in your relationship, coming from your heart? Because I know it's tough. I mean, you get mad at the guy or the girl or the family member, right?
Right. And it's our ego that wants to kind of say, he can't do that to me or she can't do that to me, right? But if we were to kind of sit quietly and ask ourselves, what is our heart saying to us, right? Our heart tells you to come from a place of compassion, of understanding, of unconditional love, right? It tells you to go the other direction. Our minds are the ones that are saying, fight, 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 fight back and say this. But our hearts are saying, no, we love this person. This is not what we want. And it's the same with business too. A lot of times we're in a career where our minds are telling us this is what we have to do, but our hearts are telling us that we're not happy. It's kind of finding the courage to kind of listen to what our hearts are telling us is the real trick to all of this. It's such a difficult. It's the conflict that we go through in everyday life, right? People make
Right.
us upset every day. Our jobs make us upset every day. But what is our heart really trying to tell us?
That's true too as well, because I know that a lot of times let's talk about some of our clients that we have. They're learning that, instead of going outside and trying to find like business, getting peace and peace of mind through getting the big deal or finding the right match for them or getting the guy or the girl to love them. It's really about going inside and connecting with that heart space inside of you. And there's angels, God, you know, Jesus, whoever you believe in, that's there really, really wanting to help you do that. Do you remember a few weeks ago when we first talked to when she calls on our call show sometimes, Amy, and how she's really started connecting back to her heart and what she's done, and it's been a process for her. But I think that's cool when someone can do that, because then no matter what happens, they're finding the source of their connection inside of themselves. You know what I mean? And I know, especially with you and your family members, you've got some of them that. Did they ever give you grief? And, you know, family, you can't choose them. Well, we actually do really choose them. We talked about that on a previous show, right? Like, why not choose these folks or these people?
I know. Let me go back into the grab bag and see if I can get a different.
Exactly.
I know. I know. We can't choose them, but we actually do. I know.
Yeah, but, you know, the best way to learn to be loving and coming from the heart is, you know, is by putting yourself in situations that really challenge you to be loving, you know, and your families are the first ones, you know what I'm saying? So I know that you've had had some challenges with that with your own family. I have as well. So will you share with me, or again, because I was thinking about this today, how you've conquered that, because I know you've got a situation sometimes that comes up over and over again, right, and you know, with one of your family members.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's she's one of my sisters, but she's a great constant reminder of how important it is to kind of always remember and focus on your heart and come from a place of your heart to approach your family members or anybody that's causing you a little bit of grief with an open heart, because if you lead with your mind, you'll just create more conflict, because your mind is the place where the ego is, and the ego wants to say, this person's crazy, and I'm not going to take this, and, you know, and you want to just talk right back and just fight right back, and that only leads to more grief. But when you open up your heart to someone, you really see that the God that is within them, that is also within you, and you understand that, you know, you can see compassion and see behind, you know, the words that they're saying or the actions that, you know, whatever they may be doing. Really, it's about unconditional love, and it's a great lesson in that. And choosing, when you approach a situation with an open heart, you are choosing then instead to come from a place of love, rather than ego. And you'll see how it does, you know, when I choose that, there are moments you have to be very conscious about it, because there are people that will push your buttons, you know, so you've got to really be conscious of this decision that you are always going to approach life with an open heart, from a place of compassion, unconditional love. And, my sister is a great, 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 great teacher for me, because every time I'm faced with her, I have to remind myself, love, open heart. And, she helps me to practice that on an almost daily basis. So, great teacher for me.
I know the other day you go, you were so calm and quiet, and I really respected you. She's texted me 10 times now. And I was like, man, I would be going through the phone wanting to reach in and just say, hey, stop, you know, but you're like, hey, I'm just going to ignore it. And you did. I that was a big lesson for me. I go, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing to the next, and I have my own family members and friends that will drive me nuts. So anyway, yeah, right. We've talked about that too as well. No names mentioned, especially because on the radio show. You know, you and I have been working together on a few things and with clients, but also with ourselves. And I'm dating, and I know that you have someone specifically that you're connected to. So we've come at it from different perspectives. And the other day I went on a date with a guy. It's so funny. And I'm sitting there watching him, and he is telling me all about his relationships. And he's also telling me why he is probably not ready to get involved. And I said, you know what? This is about how I feel and what's the best for me and sharing my truth, right? So I said, really? I go, I fall in love super easy. You know what I mean? And I saw his face. He's like looking at me like, you know, because I'm looking at feeling myself. I'm like, I'm coming from a really cool place, not, you know, desperation. But I watched his face, and he was not sure how to handle it. You know what I mean? And because I could see him, you know, thinking, okay, is she desperate? No, she doesn't feel desperate. But I wanted to tell him, no matter what you think or what you say, here's my truth. Here's where I'm coming from. I fall in love really easy. I love to love. I love to be in love. I love to, you know, find someone to share things with. And that was a big moment for me because it was more about what I thought than, you know, making sure that he felt comfortable. You know what I mean? Whoever he may be, you know what I mean? And it's important that, you know, when you're with someone or people that you want them to feel comfortable. I'm not saying that. But also really not hiding who you are, because we talked about that, having a pretend conversation or a pretend relationship, not cool. It doesn't really matter what the guy or the girl says to you. Just be honest about who you are, you know. And it doesn't mean that you have to ask, because I know you were sharing a story with one of your friends who said, how are you about having children? Have you got a timeline for that? Married?
Yeah. No, that was on a TV show. Oh my goodness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it was so funny. This woman was actually, and she said it really in the best way after the date, but she was on a date and it was on TV and they were, you know, recording this date, you know, progressing, and it was progressing really, really well. And, so they're at dinner, and then all of a sudden she says, you know, in the middle of the dinner, she says, so, what's your timeline for having children and getting married? Because, you know, she's like, because I thought I was going to get married by the time I'm 30, and I'm 30 right now. So it's, you know, it's pretty, I'm looking to get married pretty soon and have some children. What about you? And the man, you see his face drop, and he said, he started studying me, and he said, I've never really thought about it. I that hasn't really been on my mind. And she said, oh, okay, I understand. You don't have a timeline for it, but I do. And afterwards, they were interviewing her, and they said, you know, they were kind of like, well, why did you, you know, just come out and say that? And she said, well, you know what? That's my truth. And that's how I feel in my heart, that I do want to have children and I want to get married right away. And if that's not where he's at, then it's good for me to know that I found out that out, you know, sooner rather than later. So, you know, it's just, I think that's just an extreme and funny way of seeing how when you live from your heart, which is your deepest place of truth, and you also speak your truth, and which is just exactly what she did. When you want to get married and have children.
I like that. That's great, because I was sitting there going, man, that took some guts, because you know what? She was thinking more about who she was than trying to make him fit what she wanted or needed. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
And that was, yeah, great, great example of coming from your heart, you know, and being real. Because you and I have talked about this on the shows and in on our Manifesting Call on Tuesday night and classes that we teach about how important it is to live your truth. And the only way that you can do that is coming from your heart, you know. I always tell guys, you know, that I date and her friends, that are friends of mine, I go, you know, let's just be, when you talk to me, it's better to talk to me from your heart rather than your mind. Because I've dated guys like that. Oh, man, it does not work. You know, not that you can't be mindful, that's not what I'm saying, but it's always better when you're dealing in a relationship, a personal one especially, in a business one, that you come from your highest truth. And the only way you can do that is through, is coming from a place of pure love. Don't you agree?
Yeah? Right, absolutely. You know, and we all have our egos, you know, we all do, and that's one of the biggest challenges is to kind of have an understanding that the ego is not our truth. You know, it really isn't. And we may try to rationalize, you know, what the ego is saying to us, like, yes, yes, you know, and want to fight things and you know, come from a place of, you know, really when you're speaking from egos, you're speaking from a place of fear or an insecurity or, you know, of some type of it's a very negative vibration. And what that, when you're coming from that place, all you're doing is attracting more of that same type of vibration to you. You come from ego, you're going to receive ego back in return. You know, if you're coming from a place of negativity, you're going to receive negativity back in return. And a lot of times we think that coming from a place of ego is where true strength resides. We think, well, if we stand up and we fight and we say this and we say that, we're actually really, really strong. But real true strength is having the courage to really follow your heart. And to quiet your mind, to really see what the heart is saying to you. And that is real strength. And it may be painful, you know, to address those things, because a lot of times we try to hide our hearts because we think that it causes more pain to face it. But really, resolving all of those things that the heart needs to heal is true strength. I really believe that.
I agree with you. But let's talk about this, too, as well. You know, we're talking about relationships, but there's also business relationships, too. I know that I have friends and family members that are doing a job because it pays the money, okay? Mm-hmm. And how, so they do this 9 hours a day or sometimes more. I'm just giving you a regular 9-to-5 or 8-to-5 job, 9-10 hours a day. And this is something that they go, they've told me this, Tree, I would do something totally different, but I'm just afraid to change. I'm afraid to do something different because I won't have the money, and I've got to take care of my family. And and sometimes, you know, we teach this too with people, you know, in some of our workshops and our coaching sessions. If you had a choice to do what you love, what would it do? What would it be? You know, because that's where you're going to make a, you know, more money. You know what I mean? Or a lot of money if money's your is an issue. But when you start doing what you love, I have a saying, and I'll back it up a little bit. I do what I love and love what I do. You're the same way, I think. Mm-hmm. And we're coming from passion with that. It is more important to come from passion in your heart than to come from your mind. You told a story, I think, of a guy who was a doctor, and he is going to be on Oprah Winfrey because of he totally changed in midstream and became something totally different. Will you share that story? Because I think it's a great one coming from your heart.
I don't really remember which story you're talking about. We've talked about so many Oprah stories.
The bakery, the guy across the street from you, he has a store, it's a bakery?
Yes. Oh, Big Man Bakes. It's across the street in here in Los Angeles. And I never really knew his story until there was a broadcast of it on the Oprah Winfrey Network where they're doing a little mini documentary about his amazing life. He actually... I think he was a neurosurgeon, and, you know, went to medical school, became a doctor. But he always loved to bake. And, he said it all started because he baked a carrot cake for his girlfriend. And she thought it was amazing because baking was always his passion. And he loved it. And this carrot cake was just so good that people would say, you know, you should open up a shop. You should, you know, do something with this because it's amazing, this cake. And, he thought about it and he realized, you know what, baking is my passion. And he opened up a shop and totally quit doing medical practice and now is a baker. And he's got, I think, 2 stores here in Los Angeles and it's doing fantastically well. It's amazing. I mean, it's just like a little boutique shop and it's delicious. But and he would say, you know, when he made this career switch, people were asking him, you know, oh my gosh, you went from medicine to baking. Like, are you crazy? You know, who does that, right? You went to all these years of medical school and you're absolutely insane. And he said to them, baking is my passion. It's what makes it, it's what nourishes my soul and makes me feel alive. And because it makes me feel alive, I knew I would be successful at it. And he is. And he stepped through that fear. And he even said, he questioned himself on this, you know, I'm going to throw away all my years of schooling and all that. But he realized he was so passionate about baking that he had to follow his heart. And it's true, he's quite successful. You know,
I like that.
Cupcakes for, you know, it's like $4.50 for a cupcake. And I mean, I go to his bakery once a week and there's people coming in and out all the time. It's amazing.
So, and he's on, and you told me he's going to be on Oprah Winfrey, too, as well. She is bringing him on her show for whatever reason. But following your heart, following your passion gives you, I know it gives us joy, you know what I mean? And it gives, and when we talk to other people, what life-changing things have happened to them. I have to share this story with you. You know Diane, right? Diane Bucci? She, last year, she was living in Oklahoma City. And she had a dream of coming back to Colorado, getting her book published, and finding the man of her dreams. Well, she's found him. They're just still working it out. But remember when she asked us to do a reading? We did her yearly reading. I can't remember now. But anyway, we saw her book being published. Well, she just got her book published, okay? And it's by Joshua Tree Publications. And it's an amazing story. I want to share with you what passion will do for you. I talked to her today, and she said, Tree, I want to send you a copy of it. Because she goes, you told me this would happen, you and Corrine. And she goes, my book's going to be, I think, on Amazon. Hold on, I'll tell you. It's going to be on Amazon and Amazon, and the name of the site that you can order it from is Return of Mikey, or DianeBucci.com. But she says it's going to be on Amazon, and then it's also going to be printed in hard copy as well. But that book, I hope I don't cry because it's amazing what she's done with it. She wrote that book when her son was still alive, and the anecdotes of Mikey, because I think he was an autistic child, and how he really opened her own heart up and shared with her. You know, they say this, kids are sometimes a teacher and we're the students. We reverse roles all the time. And Diane really does a lot with showing you how Mikey taught her and her whole family things. He died, and it was he died, and she wrote after he died, went in there and wrote about her connection with him, and she goes he's still around, and her connection with the angels, with Mikey, the anecdotes that he has. But it's a great book, and it will really show you heart and soul, what you can do when you just believe. And when I was talking to her today, she says, you know what, I feel I'm getting out of here. She goes, I've been in a pause moment way too long, and she just started this book. Well, she started it for a long time, but she just finished it and got it published, got a great job, and she says, I'm ready to now do write full time. But you know what, she followed her heart. She moved out of Oklahoma back to Colorado, got her book published, working with the man of her dreams, you know what I mean, she met someone, and trying to, working with that coming to fruition. She goes, but the best advice she gave me, and I'll share this with everybody that's listening in, is that she said she followed her passion, followed her dream, and did not give up. That woman, I swear, she says, I love to write, I'm going to write a book. And now we're writing other, you and I are writing a book with her too as well. So it's pretty cool. I'm excited. So it's Return of Mikey. Yeah, she's got it published, and it's on Amazon.com. But if you go to DianeBucci.com, or the other site I told you, you can see it. But that is one really great example of someone that works, came from their heart, even though she's worked in a job that she doesn't like, okay? She never gave up her passion and has found a way to make money with it, to work with it, and sees a way out of her job. What did somebody tell me once? Job is just over broke. Working from passion is your ticket to wealth. And it's not about money, I don't think, but when you work from your heart, work what makes you happy, man, can you imagine how many people you affect? They say that one positive thought affects or can change 10,000 negative ones. I believe that.
Oh, you were talking about that. Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. That's so exciting. I can't wait to read it.
I know.
She's a great example of that. Oh, that's wonderful.
Do you remember when we talked to her, though, about it? And, there's people out there that have written books and are a couple chapters away from it, but Diane really just rolled her sleeves up and says, I'm going to do this, because she said, it's something I have to do and I'm driven to do. And she goes, I want to write. That's what she wants to do, is write and live up in the mountains in Colorado and write. It's a free place for us to go stay and ski. Okay, Karine, that sounds fun, huh?
I am all for that. Anytime.
There you go. So, I like that. I wanted to share that.
We have another client, too, that is going through the same thing. He is working in a family business, right, George? And he's following his passion and just wrote a book. And it's great because, although his wife is a little worried about him doing this whole career change, but he's still following his heart, regardless, because he knows this is his real calling, and this is his absolute truth. When you look inside your heart, you'll see what your truth is, what you were meant here to do. And when he actually allowed himself to look inside his heart, he knew that he was supposed to be a writer, and he's doing it, and it's wonderful. And because of this, and the love that his that they both have for each other. She's right now she's a little worried, but she's absolutely going to be supportive, and we see that for him, and he knows this too. But the strength that he has to follow his heart and to do the writing is really inspiring.
That's true. Do you remember when we told him, I guess a couple of weeks ago, because we were working with him, his wife will get it, and she'll be quiet mm-hmm. all the way to the bank. And the book dedication that he's dedicated to her is amazing. I want a guy to write something like that for me. How about you? Wasn't it beautiful?
It was. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, so, I love it too. But I know that he said, and this is for anyone that's listening, is it, you know, following your heart and your passion, it can be challenging. But what he did is he said, you know what, I'm not happy. And he just made himself do it. And he started, you know, working. And now he's working on, I think he's written one book, getting that published or trying to get it published. And then he's got a second book that he's working on. But the angels, you know, the angels are really working with him and giving him thoughts and ideas. And he feels like he's working with his higher power, the angels, because you and I have talked about that too as well. But what he said was when he really, really started meditating, and I know we gave him some ideas about that, then it helped him really remove the blocks and start moving forward. Do you remember that, Corinne?
Right, right. You know, when you start to live with an open heart and you live in your truth, you're basically signaling to spirit that, you know, you're ready to receive. You know, you're like, your channel's open and you're alert and ready and, you know, show me the way, basically. So once he did that, he started tuning into all the messages that spirit has always been sending him. But now that is, you know, it's basically like he just opened up his frequency to them. And now he's getting inspirational hits on what his subject topic should be for his books. And it's just like a stream of consciousness that's like completely flowing to him really quickly. It's amazing.
Right. Yeah. And so, but he's changing his whole life. And he's very successful doing what he does, has built a great life with all the bells and whistles that you have with financial, more than financial security. He's become quite affluent, but he's built all that up, and he says, you know what, I just can't do this anymore. I want to do what I'm passionate about. Takes guts. I admire him for that. I admire Diana for what she's, you know, what she's done too as well. You know,
I think Oprah Winfrey says it best. A lot of times we may be, you know, for those of you out there might be saying, well, how do I know, or how do I open up my heart? How do I, because I've got all this going on and I don't know really what Spirit is trying to tell me. How do I do this? And Oprah Winfrey says it best. She calls them whispers, little whispers. And that's your heart speaking to you. You know, a little message that you, a little nudgings, you know, that you're being pushed by Spirit to go in a certain direction or to do a certain thing or to say a certain thing. They'll come to you as whispers or little nudges. And really pay attention to that. If you're being, you know, if you feel like you've been pushed in a certain direction, don't discount that. Those are whispers from Spirit. That's your heart speaking to you. And a way that you can do that is, you know, if you're starting to receive little whispers, all you got to do is just kind of pay attention and shift your focus on your heart. And you can do this at any time, you know, if you could just, you know, throw up your hands and say, okay, what is my heart trying to tell me? Just sit quietly for a second and kind of, you know, breathe in with your eyes closed and kind of send energy to your heart. And I do this a lot, and it works for me. And you'll feel as your heart begins to expand with the energy, you'll start to feel certain emotions. And it may feel like, you know, you might feel some sadness or you might feel some, a little bit of pain, or you might feel happiness or anything, or you might receive messages. That is Spirit speaking to you through your heart. And any emotions that arise during this, you know, meditation or whatever, that you feel, you can send healing energy to it. And that's just, you know, the first step to your heart being not only physically opening up, but also spiritually opening up. And then you can start to tune into the messages a lot quicker and faster. And the whispers will become louder and louder and louder. Until, like what Oprah says, it'll become like a knock on the head. Or she says a brick thrown at your head.
Yeah, I know. Michael, one of our clients, he was talking to me the other day because he's, you know, working with business and personal relationships. He goes, Tariq, if I don't listen to Spirit, to God, he goes, my angels, he goes, they take 2x4s and hit me over the head. I have so many of them. He goes, I could build a house or two. I'm like, great. You know, that I like that. You know, he's got a sense of humor. But he's working on himself and working on his business and his relationship, you know, with his fiance. And that's something that he's really, really learning to come from his heart. You know, and I know that with a couple people like that, that come when they come from their heart, especially in love relationships with their significant other, instead of trying to force things to happen, they go inside of themselves and do the self-reflection and say, okay, why isn't this working? What do I need to do? You and I have chatted about that. Mm-hmm. What is it that I need to work on so that I can have a relationship? Because, and maybe you have someone in mind and it's just not working for them, or they're running, you know what I mean, and you're busy chasing. Stop the chase, sit down and say, what isn't working about this? What is this person trying to tell me? That they don't want me? Maybe. Or maybe it's this person is a reflection, reflecting something back in you about what you need to look at and learn to heal. Worthiness is the one thing I think a lot of times people have. Or they like chasing, they don't really like catching. I'm not sure what that is, though, you know, because we've talked to
that would be like people. A giving and receiving, the chasing, right? Yeah.
Giving
a
and
lot
receiving.
Of times, yeah, when people like the chase, it's because they like to give. They're giving. They're giving so much. They're expending their energy out instead of looking in.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then they think, if I get this person, they're going to make me happy. Oh, that's such a mistake. You know, I think, well, there's really no mistakes because it's about your lesson. That's just a tough lesson to learn. Sorry, I shouldn't say it's a mistake. Because when you stop, and you and I have done this because we've really done a lot of self-reflection, and then I love reading with you because I get free readings from you, and you give me
free readings
too. I was like, Green, what does this mean? And you're like, Tree, what does this mean? But one of the things that I appreciate about you is, you know, when you've showed me, Tree, you need to work on certain things within yourself. So instead of saying, why doesn't this guy like me, or you remember the guy I'm talking about, what happened to him, I'm like, okay, do I really want this guy? Do I really want, what kind of guy do I really want to date? And, you know, the guy that I went out with a couple of weeks ago, we just went out on one day, obviously. But the next guy I went out with, I wasn't attracted. I thought he was attractive. I wasn't attracted to for, you know, just to be friends with. But he came back to me and he said, you know, I really believe in love. I believe in love at first sight. I was like, yeah, I like this guy, you know, because he really, because that's a fundamental basic thing with all of us. I was like, wow, that's cool. But, you know, what I sent out, it came back. Maybe not in that guy that I was dating that night. We just went on one date. But the next guy that I met and came with me, we met, that was something that he shared back with me, reflected back to me, which is cool, you know? So,
right. Absolutely. And I'm so proud of you because you did not hide your heart with the first guy. You didn't. You just said, I love freely and I give my heart freely. And because you did that, the next guy that you dated, you know, mirrored that within you. He said, I give of my heart freely too. That's amazing. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Because you spoke your truth and you got, you know, and the next guy mirrored that back in you. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I really felt good with that. So, but you know what? The epiphany was, it doesn't really matter who the guy is, who the girl is, whatever you're wanting. But when you learn to love unconditionally, and that means putting yourself in situations where you have to challenging situations, because it's easy to love when you look at a child and I love you, I love you too. You know what I mean? Or on your wedding day, I love you too. You know what's challenging is to love that person or that child when he's screaming. We always love our children. You know what I mean? When he's screaming at the top of his lungs, or when that guy's saying, you know what, you are this, this, and this, or that woman saying, you're this, this, and this, and I don't like you, I don't love you. And you still say, I love you. I still love you. I want to work this out. You've had experience with that, right? You know what I mean? You've taught me a lot about that, Green. How do you keep your heart open when you have situations going on like that?
Because when you have an understanding that your heart is your deepest truth, right? Your heart is, the feelings of the heart are so much more powerful than the thoughts of the mind and the ego. You know, that's a place where you live in fear. When you want to, when you feel like someone's done something that's hurt you, what you said was totally, is absolutely profound. When someone does something that hurts you, our ego wants to run from that, right? Or we want to fight back, or we want to stand for our right, and we want to, you know, usually we want to run away and hide, or, you know, and have that kind of conviction to stand for our right, you know, in the wrong that's been done to us. But that doesn't feel good, right? When you ask yourself, does that feel good? It doesn't feel good. right? Because your heart
That's
is
right.
telling you, your heart is telling you, we may trick ourselves. Yeah, it feels good. We're running from this because, you know, this person hurt me and this person did me wrong and I'm doing the right thing by doing this. When you really sit quietly and you listen to the quiet of your heart, it doesn't feel good because your heart is telling you that this is not how you love. To love is not to run away. To love is to face whatever it is that you're going through, right? And do and go within, do some self-reflection, because this person is only mirroring back what is within you that needs to be looked at, what it is within you that needs to be healed. It has nothing to do with what the other person has done to you at all. That person is just a reminder of allowing, they're a reminder. They help us resurface feelings that already existed within us before this person even came into the picture. So it really has nothing to do with them. A lot of times we want to say, well, it's that person. And I wouldn't feel this way or I wouldn't be this way if that person didn't do this to me. It has nothing to do with the other person. So that's when you have to look back in your heart and go within again and see what it is. What do I need to look at? What do I need to heal? How can I grow from this experience? That's approaching life with an open heart.
I agree with you on that, especially what you said about, you know, relationships that you, you know, intimate relationships. I heard a story, and I think you said something similar in a book you're reading, that I was reading, Personal Power Through Awareness, and they were talking about a lady that always felt suffocated in relationships. And so she was attracting guys that would reflect that back to her. And how would they reflect it back to her? They would demand things from her and want to be with her more than she wanted to be with them. So a lot of times, you know, to love yourself unconditionally first is the key, that you can only love someone as much as you love yourself. That's a big thing, and I realize that. And another one is that you teach people how to treat you. That's from the Course in Miracles. But she was tracking these men in her life that would, she felt suffocated with, you know, that would demand too much of her time, and or want to control her, you know, be here, do this. And so until she looked at that and was able to heal it, she would attract either a guy that demanded too much or a guy that wouldn't commit, okay? And what was her lesson, you know, when she realized her lesson was boundaries. When she was able to set up her boundaries, you know, with these guys or, you know, with her job, they're talking about personal relationships. When she was able to set up her boundaries and say, this is who I am, this is where I'm at, this is what I can do, this is what I want to be, then she was in, you know, and know that. And she knew it, you know, started just being that way in every relationship, her whole life turned around, you know, and she got the guy that, you know, where she could connect with him and not, and feel, how do you say this, feel satisfied, and he was satisfied. So, you know, but what happened is that she had to look at why was she attracting this kind of man, or the exact opposite. It was only reflecting something that she needed to look at herself. Because one of the things I realized is, and this has been some time ago, is, you know, the men, or if you're a guy dating a woman, the women or the men will change. The only constant is you. So really look at that. What is it about you that you need to heal so you can have that open heart, so you can have a great relationship? And I feel sometimes, too, that people think, okay, if I fall in love easy, or if I say I only believe in love, how sexy is that? You know what I mean? Or how good is that? Will women or men still want me if I say something like that, or if I'm really open? Man, I think that you have, when you become open like this and you have the opportunity to share that with people, or, you know, with a date, with your boyfriend, your husband, with your job, and you go, I'm so open, I'm living in my truth, I'm open, and I'm showing this to him, he will eventually, or she will eventually reflect that back to you. Do you think so too as well? Do you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. That's always been one of my challenges, is to be able to, you know, in relationships, trust my own heart enough to be able to speak my truth. A lot of times, you know, we want to kind of always kind of project this image of we're the strong person. Nothing we say, you know, nothing anybody says can hurt us, right? Because we have been hurt before, so we project the image of nothing can hurt us. How ironic is that, right? And so, you know, for me, because I have been hurt in the past, I felt like I had to project this image of no one can hurt me, and thinking that I was opening up my heart, but really my heart was closed. And, you know, one of my boyfriends was so great with being able to speak his heart all the time, speak his truth all the time. He wasn't afraid to say things that would make him appear vulnerable. And I remember being able to watch him and say, wow, he can just say, you know, this upsets me, or this is how I feel. And he would always ask me, like, why can't you tell me how you feel? Why can't you tell me, you know, that this upsets you? Why can't you, you know, open up your feelings to me? And I realized in that relationship it was just so difficult for me, because I didn't trust my own heart enough to be able to do that. And, you know, I learned that now, to be able to do that, is to open up my heart, speak my truth, speak your feelings, and what you'll receive in return is 10 times greater than what you would have ever thought. I thought that, you know, if I revealed my feelings and spoke from my heart, that I would get hurt. It's exactly the opposite.
That's cool. I agree with you, because I remember I thought a guy, and it was actually a guy I dated for a couple of years, he said, I always break up with the women. They never break up with me. And I'm like, wow, what a challenge, you know? And I was like, that's cool. I was like, he must be hard to get, you know? Anyway, I dated him for a couple of years, and I was like, this guy is whatever. You know, what I'm saying now, you know, being real and being open and honest and living in truth and keeping my heart open, you know, is key. I told someone, and you remember this because you and I were chatting about it, and I'm sharing this with everybody on there that's listening to the show. I told someone not so long ago, a few months ago, I said, you know what? I want to give you 150%, and I want you to give me 150%. I want to build a life with you. I want to climb a wall with you and be there with you on the other side. Do you remember this, Kareen? And I want you to do the same with me. And, you know, and I said, let's have a conversation about that. And I knew that he couldn't do it. And, but I was like, I just got to share this, because I could keep him right with me, and be totally miserable, right, that he wasn't doing or connecting with me like I wanted the connection. But I knew that he was going to say no, and he did. Best thing I ever had that ever happened to me, because out of that came a really realization, a strong realization about who I am, what I am, what I bring to the table, you know, for myself and loving myself. Do you remember that? It was one of the hardest right. things I'd ever did, you know, and to be that open and say, this is what I want to do. I want to love you. And I told him I loved him, you know, so too as well. But I have no regrets about it. I think we got a couple callers.
We do. We've got Amy from Texas.
Hey, Amy.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing wonderful.
Happy Yay. Christmas Eve, Eve. You know.
Huh?
I said Happy Christmas Eve, Eve. Merry Christmas
yes,
Eve.
Yes, I know. That's all I've been doing today. I've been standing, cleaning, and I guess getting ready for Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve.
Aw, there you go. Anyway.
Yeah, we've had a fun-filled day at home, so it was nice.
What's going on? What's your question?
Really, I think it's just I guess more of a renewal of going into the Christmas spirit of when you are finding self, and then just staying on the path, just staying strong, you know, just words of wisdom, I guess, not so much of a question.
Words well, of I want to ask...
You, like, of what y'all were talking about, and it's interesting what y'all were just saying of the relationships of what you were doing, and maybe it was something that was lacking in yourself. And I can even reflect as y'all were talking. I was on my fingers going, one, two, three, yeah, I can relate.
That's cool. I understand. I know you've been through a huge change. But one of the things I think is real key for you, and I know you just shared it with us a little bit, is you became more aware of your sense of self, who you really are. Is that true? Okay.
And not so much of who I really am. I think it was for me and the road I've traveled and all the years of where I've been heading for many years is a rediscovery. She's there. And somewhere on this journey, I've had to reflect, and I know, where I let I guess talking in third person, I let Amy go. And that's a big thing of mine where being submissive, I guess, as a woman or being raised in the South and being married and what you should do and don't do and being married, and then you become to lose a little bit of yourself, and yet then guilt becomes in, or, you know, motherhood sits in, or other things, other factors of life that you don't, just because you become a wife or just because you become a mother, it doesn't mean you have to lose who you are. And I've always, you know, I always know who I am, and I've always been very blessed, and even today, that I have friends that I have and that I've had in my life for 20 years that could probably recite my life better than me, and I'm blessed with, you know, two or three girlfriends like that. And it's amazing when I have some of my downtimes or I'm going through trials in my life, those have been the girlfriends who have helped remind me. They're like, you used to do this. Oh my God, you were the one who blah, blah, blah. Or remember when we were here and you were the one who told everyone blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's just like, I've been able to stop and go, wow, I even know why those girls are in my life. Those girls that are not just girlfriends, those were God sent sisters that here I am have shared things to also remind me of who I was, who I am, and who I should be and always need to be. And along the journey, I let her go, and she becomes submissive in various relationships, or in, whether it be work or, you know, love, or just with other people in general. And that's been my rediscovery, if that makes any sense.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Corinne, do you remember when we first started working with her? You've come so far. And this Christmas is a good Christmas for you. You're happy about what you have, and you're not thinking about what you don't have. Or, you know what I mean? You're living in a lot of desire rather than need. That's a key thing right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Amy, you're a great example.
Go ahead, Corinne. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say you're a great example of, because when we first started working with you, you were in your head. You were living in your head, right, with all the fears and the doubts and the worries, right? And you saw how when you were living with your head, every action that you did, every thought that you had was always with your head first, and how it created this chaos around you, right? You created more of what you were fearful about because you were in your head so much. And then recently, over the last couple of weeks, you started to go back within and started opening up your heart again. And really coming from living and approaching life with an open heart. And when you did that, you saw all these things turn around for you, right? I mean, you were like, you're asking, well, why is this person coming around now? Why is that? Why is this, you know? And I said, because you're tuning back into your heart. You're coming from, you know, you're asking for an opportunity to do things different, to act with your heart now, and look at what you created for yourself. It's just abundance now of opportunities, which is so great. You're a great example of that.
I know. And, you know, Corinne you, and Amy both, do you remember when she first started on this journey? Corinne, to see angels and to work with angels, because a lot of people want to develop their psychic ability or their intuition or their connection with angels, God, Jesus, you know, you really have to come from your heart, you know what I mean, to get the words and to get the meaning and to get the feelings and to get the thoughts that the angels are trying to share with you. And I remember that Amy, do you remember this? Amy was more concerned about the guy than she goes, oh yeah, I saw an angel walking around here. When's the guy going to call? Do you remember that?
Yes. We were like, hey, wait a second. Go back to the angel. You're like, well, she just walked in my kitchen and then she went into my kid's bedroom. Wasn't a big deal. When is he going to call? Is he going to call me? I need to know if he's going to call me next week. And we were like, wait a second.
That's true.
I know. And now that you're so, you've gone back within now and you're so centered on your heart, look at all the message that you're getting. Now you're actually hearing them speak to you. They're coming in your dreams. They're coming when you're awake and they're giving you all these messages, and you really are so connected, and it's renewed you with a newfound sense of trust and faith, and it's just beautiful. It really is just beautiful.
Well, I can honestly say, just even like on a day like today, I was able to wake up. You know, we did what we wanted to do. We've enjoyed. I wasn't having to go anywhere or do anything rush. And yet I found a little of my ADD where I was like making cookies, making hot chocolate, cooking this, making quesadillas, cleaning bathrooms, cleaning, you know, stuff. I was just from one end to the other end, but yet I was just in the moment, and ultimately here I am in the evening, and I like enjoyed my day, and I didn't. There was nothing major about my day. It was just little tidbits, this, and the kids just playing, running in and out, and doing their gig, and being kids, and reminding me that they're kids. But yet, I can literally sit here in the evening and go, I've had a great day. That's been a long time coming that I'm not worried. You know, I mean, yes, there's thoughts, of course. You know, I can't sit here and lie or deny that I have other thoughts in my head, but no, they're not in the forefront or consuming every iota of my mind from every second of what's going to be next.
That's wonderful. You have got peace, Amy. And I used to say that peace was in everything, right? I mean, who cares about peace? You know, just show me the money, you know, show me the success and career. But peace is everything. It really is, you know, because when you have peace, you got it all. And you found some peace. Good for you. And I know that that some days are challenging for you. I know that. And that's okay, too, because when you get challenging, you just know how, you know, you figure it out how to get back to where you feel calm and confident and peaceful. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that so much. You got a great story. And I know you're journaling your story to help others. So There's another author on the horizon, okay?
Yeah, right. I hope to have it published for one day when my daughter begins to be dating, so that gives me plenty of time. No rush. See, I'm not even putting a timeline on me. I'm not rushing myself.
Yeah. There is life after man. That's a good name, right?
So, yes.
You know.
Yes. No, it's lessons learned along the way.
That's it. That works. Anyway, well, you got a great story.
Thank you both.
And I'm glad that you're part of Angel Coaches. Means a lot. So.
Thank you,
Amy.
Love you both. I'll talk to y'all.
We love you, too.
Love you, too. Okay. Bye, Amy.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to y'all.
Anyway, she's that's a great story where she's came from and where she's going. You know, and I want to make sure, Corinne, because you and I talk all the time about, you know, when you come from your heart, your life is good. It is, but you have up and down days, you know, too, as well. And that's okay, because if you just keep in, you know, what your mission is, and your mission is not to get somebody. Your goal is to really find your peace, to open your heart, to learn to love, to work from passion, to have a relationship that is passionate and secure. I think. Don't you agree with that as well?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That was really well said. I love that. That resonated with me. That was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that way as well. And the other thing that I really, really, really agree with or feel is people are always saying, I want peace, I want peace. And yet their own inner dialogue, their self-talk, what are they talking to themselves about every day? Because, you know, your thoughts are things. So if you're sitting there and complaining or feeling bad or sad or why isn't this happening or why don't I have a better job, where's my life choices, what about my health? You know, I've got poor health, whatever it is that you're talking about, those thoughts are things. They really are. And when you send it out, you know, it's not only affecting you, but it's affecting other people as well. So be careful with your thoughts, because they affect every aspect of your life. You know what I mean? And getting peace is important too, as well, because when you're thinking thoughts and you're trying to keep them at a higher level, or you are, you know, and you say, well, I thought this thought and this is wrong. There's really no wrong. It's just a work in progress, you know. I feel that you can always, you know, come back to that. And a couple ways that I found is when, you know, because I've been conscious of my own thoughts, and I know that we teach that as well at Angel Coaches, is when you meditate, like meditate in the morning. Sometimes maybe you need to meditate 3 times a day, you know, get a guided meditation, because there's some great ones out there. When you meditate, that will calm that inner, that mind stuff going on, that inner chatter. A great one that I found that really, really helps you connect to your higher power, you know, to the God of your understanding, or your angels, is Meditations for Manifesting with Wayne Dyer. There is such a time when you do that meditation after a few days that you really, really find that peace, and it doesn't really matter what goes on. You know what I mean? Because at that moment in time, you're finding peace. Have you experienced that yourself? I know I have.
That's why meditation is so key. When it, you know, because it quiets the mind, and so that you can go into your heart and open up your heart. Absolutely. And that's where you find your greatest peace. And Oprah, the wonderful Oprah, she actually says, that the only time that you're living life is in the present, and all that matters is what is going on now. And so in that moment when you're meditating is the most profound kind of peace. It's your truest connection to your heart and to spirit.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know some of the archangels that will help you, on this journey is Archangel Shamuel. I had a dream about him the other night, and I told you this. He was on a rock, and he said, Terry, actually, my angels always call me Terry when they're talking to me. That's how I know that it's a cool message. Then he goes, Terry, he says, I want you to know that peace comes from knowing that love is the only thing that's real. And he's got a card like that, but he said it again, peace comes from knowing that the only thing that is real is love. I thought, wow, how cool is that, And I know you had a dream not so long ago with about relationships and love, and the more you love yourself, the better your relationships. It was beautiful what you told me. I know it came to you in a dream.
Mm-hmm. It was about, that the most important thing is the relationship with yourself, and then all relationships follow. The most important thing is to love yourself, and then love follows. It was all about, that it all starts with us. Really, we are the greatest manifestors of our experiences, and so if we're looking for love, we're looking for relationships, we're looking for whatever it is that we're looking for, it starts within us first. And it's so true, and we hear it all the time. But yeah, I got that in a dream, and it was just beautiful.
Well, I think we're about ready to close. So I'm going to leave a thought, and before we do that, angel coaches, if you guys want readings, talk to your angels. Have yearly readings, and we do individual readings. We have classes there. We also have a Tuesday night manifesting call at no charge. It's something that Karina and I do to give back, and it's amazing. But go to angelcoaches.com, and you'll get a lot of our information. And I'm going to share my thought, if that's okay. Karina, I know you got a great one as well. Unconditional love is learning to be the source of love rather than waiting for others to be the source. That's cool.
That's wonderful. And I'm going to leave you guys with a quote from the author Robert Vallette. And he says, "The human heart feels things the eyes cannot see and knows what the mind cannot understand. Don't try to reason with your heart or feel with your mind, for just as the heart knows no logic, the mind can't lead you to your soul. Our heart is the voice of the soul. Listen carefully, and in its beating, you will hear the fluttering of angel wings."
Oh, that's amazing. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So it's Hanukkah, it's Christmas, it's probably Kwanzaa, but so I'm just going to say happy holidays to everybody that's listening.
Happy holidays.
Everybody.
Good night.
Bye.